Hey there. Today, I would like to talk about the war for how we work. The situation in the world right now with the coronavirus is going to fundamentally change the way we work. And I see self-employment as being under attack. And I wanted to talk about what I'm seeing today and hear back from you in this conversation. Before we jump into that, I want to say a huge thank you to you for listening. Get Legit Lawn Shit hit 10,000 podcast downloads after last week's episode, and I am thrilled that there are people who are finding humor and help in this podcast. If it is valuable to you, if it has been valuable during this time, please go ahead and leave it a review or a comment and help others find the show. Share it on social. Tag me at the Emily D. Baker when you do so I can see it and share it as well. It will help the show grow, but it will help people get, hopefully, information that is helpful and maybe a chuckle as well. So thank you again for helping this show grow and being my favorite part of this show is not hearing myself talk. It's talking to you. So let's talk about the way we work right now. Hey there, this is Get Legit Lawn Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit. And we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. I'm actually nervous to talk about this. I strive to keep this show from being political in any way, from sharing anything other than what's going on, my opinion, my commentary, and I am going to do my best to keep this topic that way. There are things about the war on self-employment that are going to seem political. I am trying not to make them political, but in the ways of legislatures passing laws, those are political decisions. My commentary is not on the politicians or the parties, it's on the trends that I am seeing and what is concerning me about them. So, my opinion on work is we should all be allowed to work the way we want to work. If we can make money doing it and it is not illegal, and even then, sometimes I'm like, really? Does it need to be illegal? But if it is not illegal, and it is the way you want to work, I believe that you should have the freedom to choose your work environment. I think the coronavirus public health crisis is putting a flashlight on the way we work and the way that we integrate our work and our life. I read a fantastic article, and everything I talk about, I will link in the show notes. And this article, I will link if I can find it. But it has really talked about that work has become our primary identity, especially as people are choosing to step away from communities like a church community or a hobby community, a, group where you go outside of work and have things to do. It doesn't have to be religious oriented, but people aren't so much a part of the bowling league as they used to be. They aren't regularly finding community in the same number that we used to. A lot of people don't have community outside of work, don't have hobbies outside of work. And we've gotten into this dichotomy of our time is split between work and family, and that is all there is. And I think that that's a very dangerous thing. I talked about it in my TED Talk. When our identities get wrapped up in work and work isn't making us happy, we almost get stuck in this like abuse cycle with work. It's like, but it fills me up. And when it's great, it's so good. But when it's bad, it's so bad. And I don't know how to get out of it. And so much is tied into it because your retirement plan can be tied into it if you still have retirement plans at your job. Your health care, your family's health care are tied into it. So there's all these things tying you to stay, even if you want to leave. So the choice to leave employment and become self-employed is a very hard choice because of so much being tied into it. I really enjoyed reading The Little Book of Hygge this year. I am fascinated with Hygge. The first person who introduced me to kind of the Danish way of life is a beloved friend, Mette Hansen, who hopefully doesn't mind that I'm sharing her name on the podcast. I hope you don't mind, Mette. Thank you. Mette is a lovely Pilates instructor. And before I injured my back and before and even after I had kids, we worked together. And often we would have discussions about the way the world works, why we think we could do better, and we would basically solve the problems of the world. Mette is someone I turned to for a lot of advice on parenting and brought in that kind of Danish way of parenting and taught me about how differently things were done in Denmark. And it kind of sparked a curiosity, though at the time, especially with young kids and work as a DA, it's not something I explored super deeply, but I always loved our chats of solving all the world's problems through a broader, more holistic, and sometimes optimistic lens. But part of that is choice. And one of the things when you read about Denmark, particularly because they tend to be the happiest people in the world, the happiest society in the world, one of the things that struck me so much in both Living Danishly and The Little Book of Hygge, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, is the freedom to choose. And in a society that has different government programs, yes, taxed up one side and down the other, but there are very large safety nets. So people have freedom to choose. That is something that's much harder in the US. We value our individualistic freedom. I don't want to say to a fault, but we value our individualistic freedom so that social safety nets are not always an accepted part of our culture. And this becomes a cultural decision. I want freedom. I don't want the government supporting me. I support myself. Like I do what I want. And I want to support myself and I want to do it on my own. It's like we're a nation of really angry three-year-olds who just want to get dressed by ourselves. And we're like, no, I can do this on my own. I don't want to be controlled. There is this deep cultural identity to freedom and independence and not being controlled. So I believe that that leads some to see some social safety nets as a form of government control. Others see it as, well, I work my ass off. Why aren't they? Where in Denmark, it's like, we're all in this together. The tide raises all boats. All of us are better together. And that is not the cultural identity of Americans. And that leaves us in a place where choice becomes very challenging because there is A, unknown, and B, a lot of people don't have a safety net. Yes, if you have generational wealth or you have a spouse who has great healthcare, or if you are independently wealthy, you have some more choices. With privilege, there is greater choice, but that doesn't make us a happier society because not everyone has that same freedom of choice. And the choice to be self-employed is for sure a choice and a choice that's hard to make when you don't necessarily have that safety net. And right now with health insurance, people are afraid to leave jobs even if they feel unsafe. And this is a conversation I am having almost daily right now. So for those who are already established as being self-employed with their own health insurance, they have more options right now than those who are trying to make full-time employment and oftentimes full-time caregiving for kids whose schools are closed work. And what I'm seeing from the communities that I'm a part of is everyone feels like they're failing at everything all the time. It is really hard to be a full-time teacher, a full-time parent, a full-time employee, and still process the trauma that we're all going through because of this pandemic. It is hard. But what I'm seeing behind the scenes with regard to self-employment is that states like California, which is an ABC state, we've talked about AB5, we've talked about the new test for independent contractors, we've talked about the state's push away from independent contractors. Now that independent contractors can apply for unemployment because of COVID, I'm seeing states like California asking if contractors think they were miscategorized so that California can just keep notes and punish companies that aren't categorizing their independent contractors properly. But what I'm seeing from contractors is that they are, especially contractors who are in jobs that they can't do remotely, contractors who are in travel or in wedding industries or creatives who need to work on site and can't, service providers who want to work on site and can't, even Uber drivers, gig workers that can't work. If they're going on to something like Upwork or Fiverr or Rev is a transcription service. If they live in California, those different platforms aren't accepting a lot of contractors in California because those platforms don't want to get in trouble under AB5. So now contractors who are unable to work and could find other ways to generate income online are forestalled from doing it because of the laws in California. Other states have this law too, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey. But individuals who want to be able to work and want to be able to make money are not being given that option because of the laws that are the way they are at the moment. To not be able to pick up gig work that you can do on the internet is ridiculous to me right now. People would rather work than need to rely on unemployment and aren't being given that option. What I thought was really interesting in this is that AB5 in California was pushed by someone who is a large supporter of union work. And no judgment on unions at all. There is a time and a place. But I looked at a Pew Research study about the self-employed sector. And what I found in that study, when they were breaking it down, is that in the same period of time we saw a significant rise in self-employment, there was also a 50% decline in union membership. And I thought it was very interesting that some of the politicians who are really pushing against self-employment and independent contractors and gig workers are backed by unions, and unions are also seeing a sharp decline in membership. And some people are like, unions are necessary to protect workers, and some people are like, unions are trying to control our government. So there are two very different viewpoints on that. And there are definitely industries where unions protect workers and keep them safe. And then there are industries where unionization isn't maybe a right fit, but that's not the argument. The argument is let the people work the way they want to work. 30% of the nation's workforce are self-employed as of 2019. That portion of the workforce accounts for 44 million jobs. That's a lot of jobs created by the self-employed, the solopreneurs. It's estimated right now as the self-employed and solos are able to apply for things like the Paycheck Protection Program, apply for things like economic injury, that there are over 26 million solopreneurs who pay themselves on a draw and not a W-2. Yet, that sector that accounts for 44 million jobs was not allowed to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program until a week after other companies had been allowed to apply. There is still this secondary treatment of the self-employed through even getting aid during coronavirus. The CARES Act allows self-employed individuals, and in that I'm lumping in, you know, sole proprietorships, independent contractors, gig workers, all y'all self-employed, are being treated less than and less valuable than traditional companies that pay W-2s, are being treated as if they aren't as important. But this is 30% of the workforce. This is a big deal. But when the CARES Act rolled out unemployment for self-employed, most states still don't have that up and running. When they rolled out the Paycheck Protection Program, including self-employed businesses. They couldn't apply till a week later, and then can't always apply at their bank if they don't have a lending relationship. A lot of people who are self-employed try not to take on business debt. That's their choice to work the way they want to work and to make their work and their life look different. And what I'm seeing is that when you break the mold, it is challenging to people. And I feel this wave coming of finger pointing once we get done with all of the real world health problems dealing with corona. The finger pointing of, see, the self-employed needed unemployment. See, the self-employed needed bailouts. You know what? I feel that this is going to be a push to say, this is why we need stronger laws to keep people from being self-employed. This is why we need to protect people from themselves because they couldn't sustain. Guess what? The banking industry couldn't sustain in 2008. They got fucking bailouts left and right. And nobody said, see, banking's not a viable business. The travel industry is going through it right now. The airlines went through it after 9/11 and got massive government bailouts. And nobody said airlines aren't a sustainable business model. So why the attack on the self-employed? And I think some of it goes back to this push-pull between independence and control. And it is something that is not sitting well with me right now. It is something that I'm really, really frustrated by because I feel like states are keeping receipts on the self-employed saying, see, you needed help. This isn't viable. Go get a job. Go get an employer. Go get a large company healthcare program. We'll take care of you. No, you won't. Your companies are struggling too and have all needed bailouts. So why is your bailout okay, but bailing out the self-employed and small businesses is such a shit show? They got all the money together in 2008 for the big banks. They didn't shut them down. Nobody shut down Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, whatever. Nobody shut down the mortgage lending industry. Half of their behavior was fucking criminal. But nope, the subprime lending crisis that plummeted the country into a massive recession, nobody said that their businesses were all fucked up. Yet, you're treating the self-employed as if they are less than, as if they don't deserve to get aid in the same way as other businesses. And it is pissing me off. Every single hairdresser, Pilates instructor, gym owner, physical trainer, photographer, wedding planner, all of you, Uber drivers, everyone deserves help right now because this is an unprecedented time. This is affecting every single business and industry. But why are you going to bail out some businesses and make it so much easier for them than for the individuals who are creating a life that they want to live? Self-employment is hard. It's unreliable. It's unpredictable. You have to create for yourself. You have to save money for yourself. But it's so powerful to have that choice. And I don't think that that choice to be self-employed versus working for an employer should be treated any differently, especially in a national crisis. And I don't think it should be politicized. And I don't think people's choice to live the life they want to live, to work the way they want to work, should be politicized. If you're going to bail out banks, you better as well bail out small businesses, solopreneurs, independent contractors, gig workers, the self-employed, the sole proprietors. They deserve support too, more than big banks that behaved, I want to say criminally, during the mortgage lending crisis. It doesn't sit well with me. This is a conversation we are going to be having all week, goody goody, in the Get Legit community, because I don't know what the solution is, and I want to hear from you. How do you see this problem playing out? Do you think we're going to have more people after coronavirus pushing to work for themselves, pushing for flex work arrangements? What we're seeing in LA is that there's less traffic, there's less pollution. We're seeing less pollution around the world when people commute less. I think we will get to a point where people get out of the stress of this and go, it was nice not having to drive everywhere all the time. It was nice to slow down a little bit. that's my silver lining, and it was better, and I want to work some days from home. So I think the way we work will change, but I also think we're going to have to fight to keep the ability to be self-employed without being pushed into a box and without being told, there's my American independence, right? Without being told we have to work one way or the other, without being told that we have to go get a job. Now I feel like a rebellious 16-year-old. Don't tell me to go get a job. That's not true. I started working when I was 14 and I loved every minute of it. I was like, I make my own money. And then I made really poor decisions on how to spend it until I was like in my 20s. And even then there were still some poor decisions. But that's a story for another day. I really think that we are going to have to keep an eye on the way that the conversation around self-employment unfolds as America gets back to work, because I feel that it's going to be politicized. I'm afraid of the states that are keeping receipts on independent contractors and small businesses and solopreneurs saying, see, you need a bailout. Obviously, you need to go get a job and work for a larger company. Let us protect you. Look, y'all, nobody said that to the banks. You just gave them a fuck ton of money and we're like, carry on. So fight for your right. Not to party. Well, that too. Fight for your right to work for yourself if that is your choice. And if that is not your choice, that's okay too. But shouldn't we be allowed to choose how we want to work? I think so. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening. I know what it's like to find a podcast you connect with, and then you want to talk about it, and you want to talk about the things you've heard, and you want to chat with other people and hear their opinion. And sometimes that's not the people that are around you. I mean, you can always tell them to listen. But I've created a community for us to keep those conversations going, for me to answer your questions, and to share some behind the scenes and exclusive content, and maybe some deeper takes on the stories as we talk about them. So if you want to join that conversation with the Get Legit community, come on over to www.getlegitlive. I'd love to see you there. So come on by, say hello, and join the conversation.